I think that AI is going to weed out the bad artists, and you have an amazing opportunity to get into a world of analog, because there's going to be a huge price on things that are tangible, on physical. I mean, just go on Instagram, go on YouTube, and look at all the different videos of people who are homesteading, who just want to get out there and live life without a fast food world, who want to live life without industry, who want to live life by doing stuff with their hands. Like, there's one guy I follow who literally has created his whole homestead with hand tools. And I'm like, if I had unlimited resources and time and money, I would totally do that. But I'm not wealthy. But it's such a crazy, cool concept of delving back into how God created us to be in this more analog way. And so I'm a huge proponent of pushing back against AI for that very reason.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
And we are delighted to have with us Jared Wiggins. Jared is an Unbound alum, an absolute great friend to both of us, somebody that we've worked with on multiple projects in and outside of Unbound for years. And we're glad to be working with him in Unbound again, as he is the instructor for our art and graphic design track. And as you're about to find out, he is uniquely qualified to do that. So without further ado, let's welcome Jared Wiggins to the Be Unbound podcast. Jared Wiggins, welcome to the Be Unbound podcast. And before I officially welcome you, I have to let our audience know that Jared was in on almost all the early kind of creative marketing stuff that Unbound did. So a major contributor to the early YouTube channel and videos and some other things. And so I say welcome, Jared, but I'm not sure. Have you been on the Be Unbound podcast before, back in the early days when Abe did it? Or was that, is this truly your first time?
I was on one podcast. I'm not sure it ever got published.
Okay. So he's in the archives. So just so you all know, and if you're listening to this, Jared's in the thing that, you know, years from now, it's like the Beatles when they publish the tribute albums and stuff like that, right? Like all the extra, this is unfound footage and all this kind of stuff. They'll be like the podcast that was alluded to in episode whatever this is. This is, they found the original with Jared Wiggins and Abe and probably Josh talking about stupid stuff, which is why we didn't publish it. So anyhow, there you go. Now you've got a little collector's item to go with this podcast. It'll go down in internet history. But Jared, welcome. We're delighted to have you on the podcast for the first official time that we're all going to admit to. So Jared's obviously an Unbound alum and somebody who's done all kinds of different projects with us at Unbound. But one of the reasons we have him back this time, and we could talk about 50 different things, at least two or three of which would be reasonably decent conversations we want to publish later. But right now, Jared is a track instructor for us, and he teaches the art and graphic design track, which is highly appropriate because as long as I've known Jared, he has done things in that realm. But there's two kinds of people here. There's folks who do graphic design, and they technically design things like websites and, you know, marketing pieces and all those kinds of things. And certainly Jared does that and is very good at it. There's also artists. And I've actually known Jared as an artist even longer than I've known him as a graphic designer, although maybe this all sort of simultaneously went together. But from my earliest time that I met Jared, he's been a talented artist in a couple different mediums. And it's somewhat rare to find that combination of somebody who's a legitimate standalone sells his artwork artist and also somebody who works professionally in graphic design and is very good at that. And so for us, it's just really cool that that person also happens to be an Unbound alum and so has a kind of a heart for our students and then teaches our students in the art track. But Jared, let's start with both of those. But if you don't mind, let's start with the art stuff. So tell us a little bit about the kind of art you do and maybe tell us a little bit about how you got started with that.
Yeah. So honestly, as far back as I can remember, I've been drawing. I was homeschooled. No surprise. We, as a family, I had four other siblings, and my brother and I would do school often together. And so my mom, in order to help us pay attention, because we, you know, we're rambunctious kids, she would pull out these huge doodle pads, lay them on the ground with sheets of paper and pencils, and say, all right, I want you to listen. But while you listen, I want you to draw. And our attention spans, like, went up like that. Our attention was incredible after that. And so it was kind of simultaneously drawing and listening and learning for homeschooling. And so that just developed after that. To honestly, I think the first thing that I would say was a big art project for me was reading The Lord of the Rings. I don't know why I thought about doing this. I was like 9 or 10. And I was like, I'm going to draw one scene from every chapter in The Lord of the Rings. And I got halfway through The Fellowship of the Ring and I stopped.
I was all of a sudden thinking, man, there might be a collector's edition out there somewhere, David. Yeah, that might be a quite seminal work there.
So. There's a there's a 50% collector's edition out there somewhere. So yeah, it was just, honestly, it's been part of my life just as long as I can remember. It was always a way for me to tell stories and capture what I've been feeling. And it just grew from there to ultimately now it's all sorts of things. So I love drawing and painting scripture, anything from the Bible, anything that Jesus has talked about or anything that has an image in my head, because we can read the Bible so frequently and it's, you know, it's God's word, but it's also sometimes very historical. So you read it kind of straight up. And so I get these images in my head of like, okay, what was it like when Jesus exited the tomb? What was it like when Jesus walked on water? What was it like when Moses saw the backside of God? And that, you know, those are sort of things I love to paint, these kind of little, I call them redemption stories. Like, I love paintings and drawings that tell a little story, but it's not just darkness. It's also light. Like, it's also commenting on, okay, there is a fallen world, but there's redemption in it. And I think painting's the perfect medium for that because it is so chaotic and so clumsy. So I do, yeah, all sorts of things like book illustrations now. My wife and I do children's books. We're getting our first official published within the next month, which is really exciting. I've done 2 commercially for clients in the past. And so yeah, there's so much I could say about the art world, but I will say this one last thing. I love life drawing. So taking a sketchbook and going out into public and drawing what's around me. It's something that the art mentors that I look up to have taught, and I just retain that as a daily habit. And so everywhere I go, I mean, I've got my sketchbook right here. You know, I've got, you know, upwards of 20 sketchbooks just throughout the last 10 years of my life and filled to the brim with sketches and life sketches. And that's been a really cool experience to observe life around me and be able to capture it. Because there's something about life that is beautiful. And I really want to tell other people about it. You know that feeling when you see a sunset and you're like, Jesus, this is so amazing. I'm experiencing this, but I wish, you know, experience it the same way. I wish my friend could experience it the same way. And so art for me is basically that. I want to try to capture those experiences and show it to other people.
So first of all, we should just let the audience know I am not an art critic, but I do think that I can appreciate beauty and good art. And so when I use words, I don't want to offend Jared, but I would say that the style that I see Jared employ most often, and I know he can do several and I've seen several styles, is almost what I would call a whimsical snapshot. There's a bit of breeziness to it and a little bit of lightness, which is not to say all of his stuff is that he doesn't draw serious things. It's just that many of his sketches have that. And when it's light in some way, but it also has the ability to kind of reach in and twang almost a bit of a tragic note or give you a little piercing of this bittersweetness that goes with it and the kinds of things he does, which is often what you just said there, Jared, I think probably coming from that life sketching. It's often, you know, I've seen quick sketches of children, his children, or his wife, or couples, or people, and stuff like that. And then it catches it catches a bit of emotion there, which I think is the difference between somebody who sketches and somebody who's an artist. Somebody who sketches can represent what they see. Somebody who's an artist can represent what they see and also inject it with emotion because they add some things that are not quite what they saw. And I don't know how to put words in that, but that little extra, I don't draw or paint, but I speak a lot. And there's a level of speaking where there's just an extra punch that you put in a story, some details that sometimes are that you repress or sometimes that you exaggerate that are that little difference between helping somebody feel like they're there because it exaggerates something a little bit to make it clear. And I see Jared do that in his work. So starting with that, Jared, and then there's a difference between, you know, somebody who draws and an artist, and some of that is professional. And so Jared is a professional artist in that, you know, you can buy his work and he sells it and people do buy it. It's not his primary way he makes a living, but it is, you know, something that people do think that is valuable. And I think that's often a good endorsement. So first, before we move on, Jared, do you currently have a website where you sell your art? If not, I can tell somebody some places they can get live. But do you have your own website at this point?
I do. It's a JYC design. There might be a dot in there, dot design. But yeah, it's mostly just a contact base only because I work on commission base. As soon as the children's book is out, though, we hope to open a store so that people can actually buy like prints and stuff.
And I would say that also we hope in the fairly near future you might be able to come through Valley Pike Farm Market if you're anywhere close to Virginia and off of 81 and find some things there as well. And so there's some exciting developments in happening there. But okay, so Jared, we've established your credentials as an artist. Now, Having said that, I think that I have often witnessed this kind of interesting divide, right? People who are artists sometimes want to be taken very seriously about their art. And I'm no way stating, Jared, that people should not take your art seriously. But consequently, some artists will turn their nose up at things like graphic design, which they'll see is a little bit different. Although I see there's a lot of crossover and the same skills. But I think one of the things that makes Jared pretty unique and also makes the Art Track pretty unique is we have here an artist, a professional artist who's good at what he does, who also happens to be a very successful graphic designer and who can design in several different mediums and across several different genres and for different kinds of marketing reasons and develop the kind of stuff that businesses need and corporations and groups and organizations need. So Jared, tell us a little bit about that, because that's something you've done a little bit for a long time, but you know, more seriously, professionally the last several years.
Yeah. So graphic design, I started in graphic design probably when I was around 16 or 17. Honestly, just as a way to make money, because I was like, well, I'm selling art in coffee shops, but it really, you know, it's only going to be the people that go in there. I wasn't that skilled at the time. I was still growing. And I saw graphic design as a way to get commercial, to get professional. And so it was kind of purely selfish reasons or, you know, career reasons. I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to be a starving artist, so I'll get into graphic design. But since then, it's developed into a really beautiful way of being my full professional career as well. So I'm 10 plus years now as a graphic designer, leading graphic design teams, being a full-time graphic designer for a nonprofit organization. And so it's been a really cool story, but a lot of people think that graphic design is just what you see on things, right? It's like, oh, it's going to be somebody who just does a few shapes on a software and that's going to be published on a shirt or whatever. But there's a few types of graphic designers. I think one of the main ones that you see, I would call, is a more mathematic graphic designer. And that's somebody who works really well with geometry and shapes and understands, okay, if you take these three points and this ruler, you can make this look as, you know, beautiful as possible, whatever. But I would call myself an illustrative graphic designer, which is a separate category. And it's, they're not, their outcomes are often the same. I mean, to go to school for graphic design, like you'll learn both skills, but it's a different approach. I use a lot of hand-drawn things and turn them into graphics. A lot of vectors, hand-drawn vectors that I'll turn into a graphic for a shirt or a logo or a sticker or a website. And it definitely has helped, by God's grace, me look at design more from a perspective of how I'm telling a story and how it feels, not just does this function. I think a lot of professionalism and, you know, I think a lot of graphic designers who go to college for graphic design, they get in one or two boxes. They either get in the box of everything goes and it's whatever, so I'm just going to keep designing and it doesn't have to make sense. It's going to be this crazy thing and it's not actually very clear communication, which is not speaking a good language, right? But then you have the opposite side of things where they're so rigid and stuck into a system that they can't break out of that and they can't actually design something that's good because it's like, well, this is the trend of 2025. I should be able to do this and it should be good. And so it's been a cool journey of being able to see that because I didn't go to school for graphic design and actually having to learn through a career, I've been taught by different bosses, different mentors, how to be a professional graphic designer who's highly focused on the illustrative side while also having the rules and regulations to be a professional. So I've trained a lot of interns in graphic design, and something I often see is these two boxes, and those two boxes are, you know, something that they actually have to grow out of. It's not something I would look at them and say at first, hey, like, you're not a great designer, because I think they have a lot of skill, but they've spent 4 years of their life learning something that actually isn't necessarily applicable for the world, something that might be applicable for college. And they have maybe a lot of technical skills, but those technical skills don't go anywhere if you're not able to design something that it's actually good.
I think, Jared, that's worth noting there, because when I said it earlier that not all artists want to be graphic designers, I think Jared just sold you why. You know, an artist is kind of like, oh, I have unfettered creativity. And sometimes that's true, and it's more true in geniuses. And often those geniuses don't know they're geniuses until they're dead and gone, which, you know, begs a little bit of a practicality question. And so, but graphic design is very much a deadline. You'll design this way. You might design something you don't like, but I like. You design something the client likes, which we don't like. You know, there's these rules. And Jared, you said there's these, this requirements, these rules of being a professional. You know, you don't often put artist and professional, being a professional in the same thing. Now, I would argue, though, that in a lot of creative endeavors, like writing, which I know more about, or like art, or like speaking for that matter, the viewpoint is like, oh, isn't this great? You can just kind of freelance and do whatever you want. But actually, people that are good at it are professionals. They have a discipline. They create on demand. They create discipline hours. They put an output in. They, like Jared, they have a sketchbook that they're sketching in constantly, and they have tons and tons of reps and stuff that come through that. And so those things do play well together. But in the popular consciousness, there's like, you know, well, I'm not going to be a graphic designer where I'm going to have to do somebody else's rules. I'm going to be my own person. And I think Jared's interesting in that I don't see graphic design in Jared's art. I see Jared's art, which is very much uniquely his. At the same time, I know him as a very successful graphic designer. Jared, I think that sometimes what's interesting about creativity is when it's demanded, so it's on demand, and then it has to conform to another standard. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when you have to produce something that is marketable, that has real value, right? So most artists would say, well, my heart has inherent value because it came from me and stuff like that. Sure, we'd agree with that. The question is whether it has intrinsic value so somebody else will pay for it, right? But graphic design eliminates that. It has to have intrinsic value because somebody is paying for it. So you were in a situation, Jared, I'm not sure if you're still in this situation, where you were kind of having to design things pretty quickly, responding to fast cultural forces. Like there was a graphic sort of, you know, you had to create something in reaction to things that were happening in the world, news or something like that, and then make that work. And the time frame was real tight. Just speak to that a little bit, even if you're not specific about what you did, speak to that a little bit, because I always thought that was fascinating, that necessity to have to design on almost a hourly or daily basis in order to capitalize on the sale. I think that's a very unique sort of place to be. So talk about that a little bit.
That was a season of learning how to produce something even when everything about me was like, I don't want to have to do this right now. As an artist, as graphic designers, or I guess I'll just harp on the artist thing, like you want to be free, especially as a homeschooled artist. You want to be able to do what you want, when you want, however you want.
Finish the Lord of the Rings book whenever I feel like it. So.
Exactly, 1,000%. And I think there's great value. Creativity is born out of restriction, right? Like I'm a better artist because of the broken moments in my life. I'm a better artist because of days where I've had to produce and finish a children's book I really didn't want to. There was a short season of my life where my wife, who's my biggest artist support, I love her so much in that way. And she was commenting that, Jared, I noticed you start a lot of things and don't finish them as an artist. And I was like, I have a lot of ideas, you know, I finished one and I'm like, I can move on to this next one. And she said, I want to challenge you. I don't want you to start another piece of personal artwork. Yeah, I can work professionally. She's like, I don't want you to start another piece of personal artwork until you finish everything that you have unfinished in your, on your desk or around your desk. Out of that came my favorite painting of all time. Hmm. It's a painting of Jesus walking on water, creating the world. When in Genesis 1, just a little history real quick. Back in the ancient days, there were three concepts of creation. And for ancient Babylonians, I guess before necessarily Babylon was the title of the kingdom, their idea was that their God was born out of what was called chaos waters. And I could be getting these two mixed up. I know the two examples. And then Egypt's gods, they were defeated by the chaos waters. And the chaos waters was just this idea of nothingness, this idea of void. And I was listening to a podcast where someone was talking about that. And said, the crazy thing about the Hebrew scriptures, the crazy thing about our Bible, is that when our God showed up and it says, and there was, you know, nothing, basically, and God made something, our God calmed the chaos waters by his very presence. God stepped up and just boom, chaos waters were completely and utterly calmed and created into order. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, that is basically Jesus walking on water calmed and created the world by just this calming of these chaos waters. And so I created the painting out of it, and I had the concept in my head and I started it and I gave up because it was really hard and I really wanted to finish it someday, but I just moved on to the next thing. And my wife was like, no, you need to finish that one. And so through grueling hours, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I recovered that painting. I finally got something that I think captures what emotion I was feeling, what connection I think it has, as well as what the story is in Genesis, in that first line, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. So that to me is why seasons of restriction are beautiful. They force you to create when you don't want to. Discipline is necessary for life. I think especially as believers, as followers of Jesus, we often think that we can just read the Bible and be okay for like a week, you know? Oh, I read the word. I'm doing great. But discipline is part of our daily food. We're not going to get anything done without that discipline. We're not going to grow in our relationship with Christ if not showing up in the days that we don't want to. And so all that to say, going back to that season of having been for work, design something within 2 weeks, it was probably one of the most transformative times in my life as far as being a designer, because I would have to hear something on the news, instantly turn it into a design. And it's, I want to say this too, there's a lot of freedom in being a designer for you to control your process. You know, you don't have to sit there and go, first time I sketched it, it's perfect. In fact, I create a phase into my design. This is something I teach the track students. There's a phase called the inspiration phase. This is where you gather everything possible that you are inspired by for this project. Anything that you think could comment on it, even if it's a quote, even if it's a color, even if it's an image, whatever, you compile it together. And then you go into what's called the production phase. And in the production phase, you're not even allowed to look at new inspiration. All you have is your little folder that you built over that time. And that inspiration phase creates all this freedom. And then the production phase also creates freedom, because now I'm still a little restricted. I have the inspiration, but I have all this stuff to sketch on. And so, you know, I'll take my sketchbook, I'll start writing out ideas, drawing out ideas. And it's like, well, that inspiration doesn't really work for that, so I'll scratch that. It's still fluid. It's still fun. It's still beautiful. But my restriction is I have a deadline, you know, but it's still free in that. So I want to be careful not to tell, you know, designers and artists, like, you're going to be in a box the rest of your life and you're going to hate it. But guess what? It's really good for you. You know, that's not the case. It's actually very freeing. It's very freeing, but you just need discipline around it. You know, with my following Jesus, I'm very free to go wherever I want to have a quiet time with the Lord. But you know what I have to do every day? Spend time with Jesus. That's my discipline. That's my have to.
Traditional education doesn't work for everyone. If you or your student wants something different, check out Ascend by Unbound. With flexible courses, real-world projects, mentorship, and community, Ascend equips young adults to thrive academically, professionally, and personally. Students consistently say that the close-knit support and resume-ready experience are their favorite parts. Enrollment prices rise soon, so don't wait. Find your track at beunbound.us/ascend.
Yeah. So it's so cool to hear that, because I, at least what comes to my mind in terms of just like artists and their creative process, is just having this big project that they end up taking so much time on. And it's just like such a concept that they're just mulling around in their head constantly. And there's just so many different forms that can take. But to hear you saying like, no, actually, like being able to have some of those restrictions being put on you actually helps your process and helps you to be better artist is really refreshing, and I think ultimately points to the fact that it should have some sort of purpose and intentionality behind it too. Is that something that I think it tends to get looked over a lot more easily and isn't as appreciated as much now, is the fact that through art in multiple different mediums, through like painting or graphic design or just other forms of art, really, there needs to be an objective and a purpose. And if there is a story, that's what helps it to really resonate. And that's what I'm hearing so vividly through all of the things that you're talking about, is that like you want whatever you're creating to be able to capture the emotion and to at least like bring people along for a part of a story that you're helping them to capture. And art that does that well is so transformational.
Yeah. Well, let me be clear too. There are times where I just love to get in a room with paint clothes and a canvas and just like, you know, scratch everything and throw paint around, and it's purposeless and it's just cool to get the colors down. Sometimes you need that too, but you're right. That story is a driving force. And it's not always something that you think consciously, because I, for a long time, thought to myself, oh, I have to have a story behind this. I always have to have a story. So I would pause and create almost a new phase of my design process. Oh, what's the story behind this? And sometimes the story is God's objective beauty, you know? And I wanted to paint a sunset because in that moment. It was so beautiful. And okay, is there a story in that sunset? Yes, but I didn't create the story for it. I wasn't intentional about creating a story. I was intentional to do what, you know, the Holy Spirit had touched on my heart, and that was to reflect and replicate what I had experienced.
So Jared, let's take that and switch over and, you know, don't name it, but start the most, you know, drone-like corporate blandness that you can think of that you've been asked to do a graphic design for. And so I kind of want to set you up with this question a little bit, but, you know, when you do something like that, so we're talking about, you know, this is not a company that you're particularly excited about. Well, let's, I just had to do a bunch of stuff with a car insurance company last night that made me want to do things that you're not supposed to do as a Christian. And so let's say it's an insurance company, which I think is about as bland and soulless as you can possibly get. And you had to design something to it. Do you put emotion, do you think of that from an emotional perspective? Like when you do that kind of work, do you think about, do you think about the, like, is there an emotional component to developing a logo for a, you know, soulless insurance company?
That's a great question. I've had a handful of times where I've had to design something that I would put in that category. And honestly, for some of them, it was just fulfilling the job. You know, it's like creating, you know, it's like raking leaves or doing some construction project. You know, sometimes you just have to hammer the nail in and that's it. And so part of that process, I never want to turn a project into something that I don't like. In fact, if I don't like something, the only way I'll ever give something over is if the client demands that they get something that I don't think is objectively nice. And that's happened a few times. I've had to design things. And I mean, honestly, I'm sitting across right now from a business I designed their logo for, and I want to redo it every time I look at it. And it's not that, you know, I necessarily failed in my design. It's that they had different opinions and I just had to kind of suck it up and be like, all right, my personal thing here has to die and I'm just going to go for it. So yeah, I think in that sense, I would say that I still put as much heart and effort behind no matter what I do because of that inspiration phase. I want it to be something that I my eyes drawn to, but I won't necessarily write a new story for it. I won't, you know, I won't look at a bland insurance company and go, you know, hey, they're there to take your money. You know, I'm like, I'm actually going to sit and just think objectively of, is this visually stunning?
Well, yeah, I could tell you a story for the insurance company, but then the painting would be, or the logo would be bloody and dark. After my experience recently.
Trust me, there's been moments.
Yeah, we can have a whole separate podcast on that. I've got a list of podcasts that David won't let me do that I just think that, you know, I'd have a lot of fun and I think would be extremely interesting, but he's not necessarily agreeing.
Oh, bring me on that insurance one. I've got loads of stories.
Maybe we'll put one of the secret episodes, Jared, that we'll have that tribute.
One of the archives is just you and I, just like, you know.
Yeah, just absolutely flipping out. So
we may have a spinoff podcast show where we
Unbound
just have
rage
rants.
Show or rant
oh,
show.
Oh my,
so, rage show. There we go. The Unbound rave rage rave. So, but Jared, the reason I was kind of pushing at that is that because as I was talking to you, as you're talking about this, you inserted emotion into so much of the content things that you're talking about. You know, like trying to get that emotional feeling, trying to get that. And I know that from the stuff and work that you do. And that's striking to me because I have found something interesting is that there's a paralysis sometimes among young people who I'm talking about going to the next thing. And they're like, well, I was going to be a graphic designer, but I don't know if I can do that with AI. I was going to be an artist, but I don't know if I'm going to do that with AI. I was going to be a photographer, but I don't know if I can do that with AI. And while I understand some of the sentiment behind that, I also have created AI images. I'm not an artist. I can't draw. And so I produce a lot of slideshows and I often use photographs for that. And there was one recently where I needed a particular image and I couldn't find the photograph for it. So I put it into an image generator in AI.
And How dare you?
I got an image that worked, but it's interesting. To my mind, at least, there is something, it was a beautiful image. And in a sense, it was like, I needed like a sort of pastoral mountain scene, right? Okay, so it met the requirements for that. And I had to tweak the prompt a few times. But there is something undeniably soulless about it. And in my opinion, as the whole slideshow ran through, it just stood out like a sore thumb because it was different, even though objectively, I don't know if it was. And I've seen this. We have a mutual friend who's a phenomenal photographer. And when AI first came out, he produced some AI images as he was trying to experiment with it. And he had some really interesting images of like Moses and, you know, like some from some biblical stories, which is interesting because you have a whole, you know, kind of image in your mind, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They were hyper realistic, but still somehow totally soulless. And maybe AI changes and does that differently, but I'm skeptical that AI can get through the soulless part. And I'm wondering if some of that is because of the emotion that you talked about. So I don't know. You clearly, you're a technical person in the sense that, you know, it's not like you're a Luddite and you don't use technology, but you're also somebody who's doing a lot of graphic design. There's no way those two worlds don't overlap at some point. But, you know, speak to that a little bit. I mean, I don't know if you even use AI in some of the work that, I mean, not to generate your images necessarily, but, you know, if there's some shortcuts that happen there. But, you know, it's to somebody who's sitting out there going, well, I don't know. I love art and I love being a graphic designer, but I don't know if there's a room for me in an AI world. What's your perspective and what's your experience with that?
I am unashamedly against AI. I'll say that up front. See its value in some tools. Or with the blunt answer to your question, I think that AI is going to weed out a lot of the real artists. Or weed out a lot of the bad artists and bring the real artists.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why for that is
because... Yeah, weed out the bad artists. And the reason why for that is because real art takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of discipline, a lot of time. It is not part of a fast food world. And the only way I know this is because I was blessed to grow up in an environment where it wasn't a fast food environment, right? It wasn't, I needed to be the best ever, you know, at age 10. There were certainly things that put pressure on being a good artist, but I was still able to spend 7 hours a day sketching, messing around, learning, growing during that time. As far as, I will say, I've had to use AI once in a work project, and it was actually only to develop an image, because I've worked with clients who rescue and do fundraising for human trafficking or anti-human trafficking organizations, rescuing organizations, and they don't want to use actual images of kids. And I was like, there's a value for it right there. That's the one place I was like, oh, great, generate something completely not real. Praise God that you can use an image to maybe start to invoke some emotion, but people know. As far as AI being soulless, here's my take on that. The AI is written algorithms and math. Not that math is soulless, I want to be clear, because I actually think there's some art to mathematicians. However, even with a prompt, you're still running a program. Even with someone who had written it, it's then generating something and replicating itself. Arts in general, even graphic design, there is a form of shaping. I almost call it the potter's hands that takes place to create even a graphic design. I need to use that mouse pad and I need to shape this thing. Even if I'm using other tools, I'm still morphing and shaping it. That brings the human element into it beyond a prompt, beyond something that just lets it go and lets it do its thing. And actually, this was a funny experience. I was asked to judge a high schooler's thesis paper for a senior thesis. And this was totally random that I was going to join and help with this judging. And I happened to get the kid whose prompt was, AI is just another tool. And it was a field day. It was so fun. And my argument is AI is not a pencil. You can't control AI like a pencil. A pencil, you're using your whole body. In fact, this is actually interesting. With art in general, most people think that they need to take a pen or a pencil and they just do little squiggly lines and they draw with just their fingertips. The majority of artists that are actually good and grow in their art use their whole arm, if not their whole body, when they actually create something. If I'm doing a line, I'm not just doing this. I'm doing this across my whole page. It takes effort, human involvement beyond just a prompt. So I think that AI is going to weed out the bad artists, and you have an amazing opportunity to get into a world of analog, because there's going to be a huge price on things that are tangible, on physical. I mean, just go on Instagram, go on YouTube and look at all the different videos of people who are homesteading, who just want to get out there and live life without a fast food world, who want to live life without industry, who want to live life by doing stuff with their hands. Like, there's one guy I follow who literally has created his whole homestead with hand tools. And I'm like, if I had unlimited resources and time and money, I would totally do that. But I'm not wealthy. But it's such a crazy cool concept of delving back into how God created us to be in this more analog way. And so I'm a huge proponent of pushing back against AI for that very reason. I think it's, yeah, there's so much more I could say, but I'm going to pause there.
for the sequel, we'll determine later whether it's in the archive footage or the secret footage or not.
No, that will be on the Bound Rage podcast.
There you go. There you go. So, well, Jared, thanks. I know it's I know your skill in both of these areas. I think it's a slightly unusual blend, and so it's fun to hear you and hear you talk about it. I also know from our own conversations that in addition to the technical abilities of being a graphic designer and artist, this is something you've thought about a lot. And we've had some really interesting conversations, and I've participated in some really interesting conversations about what art is and the value of it. And your conversation here at the end with analog stuff is really interesting. We haven't gone down that path before, but I bet we will the next time we're at Valley Pike sitting around talking about something. And so thanks very much. And we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast for the first time, if this is the official first time that we've released, and I'm sure there'll be sequels to come. So thanks, Jared.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, David. Well, I always enjoy talking to Jared. First of all, Jared's a great artist, so it's fun to watch him create. If you've ever seen him like sit there with a sketchbook, it's like, to me, it's magical. I can't even draw stick figures. So to watch Jared just kind of like poof, make things come into existence is really cool. It's true for all kinds of artists. But Jared, a little like Sarah Shaw, who we've had on this podcast several times, not only has the ability to be a great artist and graphic designer, but he's able to talk about it. And he's thought about some of the stuff behind it, which that to me is the fascinating part, because I can't necessarily relate to the ability to create like that, but I can relate to talking about why art is art, why graphic design works the way it does. And of course, from a business perspective, I'm very interested in images that convey the kind of emotion that we need for a business to work.
Yeah, I love that he's able to connect just like the purpose behind it when it's needed, as well as just the actual just expression of art. And it's very clear when you can see when there's a mismatch between those things. Like, I can think of multiple instances. You brought up that there's even a little bit of like art in communication and the art of speaking. I was recently just at an event, a fundraising event, where there was a speaker who was highly engaging, highly entertaining, but was very clearly just going off of just whatever he wanted to talk about at that given point, and was not given very clear direction on what he was supposed to be doing at the event. And we were talking about it afterwards of like, well, he was really fun to listen to, but I don't think that he actually accomplished the goal of what the event organizers wanted him to actually do there. And so I feel like if we were those event organizers, we would have been very unhappy with that. But I think it just goes to say that, you know, that's just one very tangible example that you can see. But I think in art across all sorts of different mediums, if you're able to make it not only beautiful and just pleasing to the eye, but also have it fulfill the purpose that you're looking for to have it do, which oftentimes is some sort of storytelling or communicating a message or pointing to a specific objective that you're looking for someone to take, then that's, I think, where a lot of the real power of art can come in. I think Jared displayed that beautifully.
Well, art's interesting in that, as we talked about in the conversation, there's kind of art and the aesthetic side of art. And of course, you can get into the art world and all those kinds of things. But then there's the reality that in our day, you know, we're constantly bombarded by images that people spend a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort in trying to create. And there is a connection between those two that's often not well explored. But yet is there, and it's practical, and it's worth knowing about whether you're creating the art or whether you're trying to, you know, you're consuming the art. If those things are interesting to you, then you should definitely go to beunbound.us and you should check out our Ascend program, which includes the art and graphic design track, which Jared is the teacher for. We wanted to kind of introduce you to Jared and have a little bit of background for him and have him a chance to talk about his experience as an artist and as a graphic designer. Maybe in the future we'll have him come back and talk specifically about the art and graphic design track, because I think it is unique in that it is a combination of both art and graphic design by somebody who does both art and graphic design. And it has a particular focus on the practicality of it, because Jared makes his living as an artist and as a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And so the track is not to make you a better artist so you can create really beautiful art, although that's fantastic. And it's not just to get you, you know, a certificate in graphic design. It's a track that's designed to teach you how to be a really great artist and a really great graphic designer who gets paid to create art and do graphic design so that you can continue to make more art and do more graphic design, because that's your skill and that's your talent and that's your gift to be able to share with the world. And I think that emphasis on the practical aspect is fairly unique. And Jared is a particularly adept at being able to do that from his experience. And he also happens to be a really great teacher. So that's fun, too. So if you're interested in that, go to beunbound.us. Check out our art and graphic design track, as well as the other things that the Ascend program has to offer. And if you want to hear what that looks like from a student perspective, well, stay tuned here in just a couple minutes as you can hear from one of our students talk a little bit about what their experience has been like in the Ascend program. And until we talk to you again next time, be unbound.
Hi, my name is Patterson, and I live right outside Denver, Colorado. I just finished my foundations year at Ascend, and I'm headed into my challenge year this fall. So excited. As I spent the summer just reflecting on all the things I've learned and just getting a chance to really let what happened throughout the foundations here sink in, I just noticed a lot of really cool things about my life that had just shifted after the things that I learned. So one of the biggest things is, obviously based off the name, I have just had such a solid foundation laid out for me, especially when it comes to work and what I do with work and how I view work. Like, work is worship, and it is such a cool thing to be able to do something, no matter what it is, no matter how small it is, and know that with the right heart and the right understanding of how we were created, we were worshiping Christ. And that's just probably one of my biggest takeaways. And another thing that has like impacted my foundation for just stepping into this adult life in the next season of life is just my view on people and my view on myself. One of the things that they really present very heavily in the foundations here is us as humans, we carry the imago Dei, which is the image of Christ. And that impacts how we view ourselves, how we view our work, how we view seeking the Lord, but also affects on how we view other people. And that is just such a huge thing that I have seen impact my life, impact my job, how I pour into people. Just knowing that no matter what, people carry the image of Christ, and that gives them infinite value and infinite worth. And as humans, like, we're called to be in relation with other people. And I just, that's probably my biggest takeaway, is knowing that work is worship, and pursuing people and knowing their identity is in the image of Christ. It affects everything you do. It affects how you go to your job, the attitude you have to your job, how hard you work. Like, I've noticed such a difference. I've had so many jobs throughout this past year, and I've seen such a difference in each and every one of them because I view it as worship, and that has just shaped my life. I hope you consider taking this in. It's definitely worth it.